morning as we continue in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Remember that this incredible letter that we are exploring and that we're learning about is addressed to the Jewish believers. They were going through severe persecution. Now, this letter was written as a letter of exhortation, in other words, to encourage them to keep pressing on and not to give up. And we don't want to give up either, amen? But they were under severe persecution. They were suffering. And remember that this letter of exhortation, as it's called in chapter 13, verse 22, it was written probably, maybe even a year before the temple was completely destroyed by Titus in AD 70. So Jerusalem was in chaos. And there that the temple that Herod had built stood for those 40 years. And 40 is a sign of judgment, isn't it? Yes. And what did Jesus tell us about that temple? He told the Jews all the way back nearly 40 years earlier, before his death, he says, listen, not one stone will be left upon the other, and they're going to destroy it all. Your house is going to be left you desolate. And that's what the Jewish believers who have left Judaism, that's what they're facing right now. So we know that this great letter, the theme is, of course, Jesus is better. Amen? He's better than the prophets. He's better than Moses. He's better than Joshua. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. Jesus is better than anything because Jesus is God. Amen? And not only that, Hebrews is a book of more. The word more is used 21 times. Let this church never settle for less, but only the more that God has given to us. Amen? Now, with all of that being said this morning, this is a today word. If there's ever been a moment that's a word for this church, it is actually right now, this very minute. The word today means now. Did you know that? Today, in talking about our subject this morning, today means right this minute. It means it's urgent. Today means don't delay it. Act upon it immediately. Matter of fact, in chapter 3, verse 7, where we're going to begin, and over in verse 15, and even in chapter 4, verse 7, it says again, today, three times the Holy Spirit warns the believers then and warns the believers today. The word now, very important. Remember, Simeon, there whenever Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple for him to be dedicated unto the Lord and so forth. What did old Simeon, the prophet, what did he say? He said in Luke 2:29, Lord, now, right this minute, today, this precision moment, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Because the prophet had, the Holy Spirit had spoken unto him, said, you will see the salvation of Israel before you die. And he did. Now, Paul the Apostle, writing to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 6:2, he said, behold now, right this very minute, is the accepted day of the Lord. Behold now, right now, this minute is the day of salvation. Beginning in verse 7 this morning, look at the word therefore. That takes us back to the theme of verses 1 through 6, the last couple of weeks ago that I covered with you. The theme, of course, is faithfulness. Jesus was faithful in all of his house because we are his house. Amen? But Moses was also faithful in all of his house. So in chapter 3, verse 1, we're given that command to consider. To look, boy, that word is a deep word. We've already obeyed it. We looked deeply. We considered carefully. We looked at all of the facts about who Jesus is. Amen? There's no one like Jesus. And then in chapter 3, verse 6, the writer here is telling the Jewish believers, okay, guys, you have to remain, you must remain as faithful as Moses was. Don't be unfaithful like the generation in the old covenant. They were unfaithful to the Lord. Now listen very carefully. This morning, if there's ever been a word that I don't know how to teach, it is right now. Now. The title of this morning's message is The Power of Now. Say that with me. The Power of Now. Let that word be ingrained in your heart. The power of now is not tomorrow. The power of right now, right this minute, loved one, is right now, beginning in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, what's that next word? Today, not tomorrow. He says, today, if you will hear his voice. Now, the psalmist here, or rather the writer, is quoting Psalm 95, verse 7 through 11, through the scriptures I'm going to be covering. And we know from chapter 4, verse 7, that the true author, or the human author, of Psalm 95 is David, okay? And so here it says, the Holy Spirit says. In the Greek, in the original language, it means continues to talk. It's in the present tense. He continues to speak to his people. Has he spoken to you this week? He does. The Holy Spirit still speaks. So the Holy Spirit says, the Spirit of truth says, if you hear his voice. And then they give us that today word. That word that's so important to every generation, and that today word that never changes. It says, if you will do something, if you will open your hearts, and if you will hear his voice. Now, we know that to be the voice of the Holy Spirit, but in context, whose voice is he speaking about? The voice of Jesus, amen? Yes, because remember that in context, remember what it says, God in these last days, in chapter 1, verse 2, God in these last days has spoken to us through his Son, or by his Son, Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us, listen, don't drift away, man, be careful. There's another command in 2:1 about the things which you have heard, meaning the things you've heard about Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us in Psalm 81:11, it says, God says in his word, but my people, they wouldn't heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. Isn't that a horrible thing? Can you imagine God saying that about us? We want nothing to do with God. What a horrible thing. He goes on and he says in verse 12 of Psalm 81, what did God do? He says, well, I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. In other words, given over to their will, their way, their wisdom, because they didn't want anything to do with God. They weren't hearing his voice. And the cost of not hearing his voice, listen, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. You know what Israel did? They didn't heed the voice of God, that now word. And you know what? They settled for less when God wanted to give them more. Listen to what God wanted to do. In Psalm 81:14, God says, listen, I would have subdued their enemies. Man, I would have fed you with the finest wheat. In other words, famine would never be known in your land. He says, and honey, oh, the sweet things of the land I would have given unto you. He says, I would have satisfied you. Man, can I tell you that only Jesus can satisfy us? Nothing in this world. David Livingston said this. He said, there's one safe and happy place, and this is in the will of God. Now listen carefully, loved one. The word today in the Greek language here, in the original language, is a word of urgency. It's not just, hey, how you doing today? Do you understand? It's not that at all. It's a word of urgency to those who have ears to hear. Today, again, it doesn't mean in a few hours. It doesn't mean tomorrow. It means right now. For all of us in this incredible moment of grace that we're living in. Today speaks to the present generation then, the Jewish believers, and it speaks to every generation after them as well. Now, there are only two ways for believers in any generation to respond what they hear from God's word or from the voice of the Holy Spirit. You're either going to obey by faith, or you're going to disobey and walk in unbelief. Amen? What did Jesus tell us? Remember, he in John chapter 10, verse 3, he says, oh, my sheep, they hear his voice, and he calls them out. And when he brings or leads out his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Sheep follow the shepherd. Amen? We are the sheep of his pasture. Jesus said in John, 10:27, said, the sheep, they know my voice. I know them. I have a relationship with them, and they follow me. Jesus said, they will not follow the voice of a stranger. And boy, that's what we need to know and cling on to today. Look at verse 8. He says, now, do not harden. That word means to be stubborn. That word means to be stubborn concerning God's word, God's truth. He says, do not harden your hearts in the, that's a specific, by the way, in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness. So if we were reading in the original language there, we would notice that the Greek is in the active voice. And what it means is that they're making a personal choice of their own will. They refused in their heart to do what God wanted them to do. They chose to resist God. So the writer is saying, guys, listen, this present generation there that we're talking about this morning, these Jewish believers, he's saying, listen, don't be like your forefathers. Don't do what they did in the wilderness, man. God had so much more for them, and they settled for so much less. And he says in verse 9, look what it says, where your fathers, your forefathers, in other words, they did something. Number one, they tested me. Number two, they tried me and saw my works or my miracles, the things that I did for 40 years. The word tested there in the Greek, it literally means to test and see if there be good or evil in a person. Can you believe that? I mean, who did they test? God. And look at the next word, try. It means to put a person to the test to see if he actually meets the test. That's a terrible word. That's a word directly from the mouth of the living God. They were testing and trying him. And they saw my works for 40 years. Remember, if we went back and studied all the wilderness wanderings, did their shoes wear out? No. Did their clothes wear out? No. My goodness, Deuteronomy 29, I think it's 2 through 5, tells us that incredible, that those they're never worn out. And then out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, bought at a price, if you will. And then the Red Sea parting. And then the pillar of fire by day, or by night, and the cloud by day. And then manna that came from heaven. Man, every day they went out and gathered it. And then water that came from the rock. It was one miracle after another. And you know what's sad about these unbelieving people, the first generation who did not enter into the promised land, they didn't enter into their inheritance? God's grace was still with them in the 40 years. You know why? Because God provided for them. He loves them. He says, listen, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And God says, because of what they did, look at it now in verse 10, God says, therefore I was angry with that generation, meaning the first generation that came out of Egypt, and said they what? Always. That word means perpetually. That's all they did. They always go astray. In other words, continually go astray. And look at the reason. In their heart, or in their hard heart, they have not known my ways. They saw what God was doing, but they refused to learn the ways of the Lord and grow in them. Oh, listen, Moffat translation puts it this way. They cared not to take my road. What a great word. And then in verse 11, he's still quoting from Psalm 95 now, verses 7 through 11. So God says, I swore. That's a bad word, by the way. Whew. I swore, God says, in my wrath, they shall not enter my what? Enter my rest. The word rest is used 8 times in Hebrews. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going to talk about that rest. But the word rest there, actually in context, is speaking of a place of rest, meaning the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, if you will. And the promised land that they were supposed to enter. And then, of course, it also speaks of one day yet future in the 1,000-year reign when they will reign with Christ Jesus. He is on the throne of David in the millennial reign that day as well. Now, some believe, and I don't fault them for this, some believe that Canaan represents heaven or eternal life. I don't particularly hold that view. I understand why they say that. And the reason I don't hold that view is because, are there any battles in heaven? When we get to heaven, are we going to be fighting people? No. I mean, are there, or will there be any defeat in heaven? No, well, see, Canaan was a land you had to take because God promised it, but you still had to take it, amen? So when I look at that, remember, God promised Israel. Man, this land is yours. So the promise that God made to Israel was an unconditional promise. Yet, it was conditional on the part of Israel because the children of Israel, they had to go in and fight for the land that God had already given them. They had to go in and possess it, amen? But so do we. We have to possess the promises of God as well. Look back again at verse 11. It says, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. When did God make that unbreakable oath? When God makes an oath, he can't break it because God cannot lie. Amen? Now, verse 8 it tells us something. It says the rebellion, does not say a rebellion, but the rebellion, which means a specific rebellion. It wasn't the water from the rock and all of that. It was in Numbers chapter 14, loved one, when they, Israel, they were right on the edge of the promised land. The Jordan River was right in front of them. And yet they absolutely refused to believe God. They refused to cross over because of unbelief, which now opens us up to the second warning in the book or the letter of Hebrews. Look at it, verse 12. The danger of unbelief now. Beware, brethren, talking to believers, not unbelievers. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief leading you to turn away from the living God. Beware is a command. And the writer is saying to the Jewish believers, he's also saying to us, loved ones, listen, don't follow the faithless, unbelieving lifestyle or pattern, if you will, of the first generation that didn't enter the promised land. Don't follow them at all. He says, listen, beware. He says, lest there be. Now, it doesn't mean that there was an evil heart of unbelief in them. He says, but you got to, man, protect yourself that doesn't happen. It's a warning. What is an evil heart of unbelief? That's something that every Christian should study. An evil heart of unbelief literally means a heart it's active, ongoing unbelief. It's not lack of trust. It's just that active, ongoing unbelief. It is an absolute refusal to believe God's word, to believe the God who cannot lie. That's what that word means, an evil heart of unbelief. But listen carefully now, unless you go home and say, I think I have an evil heart of unbelief. There's a huge difference between a heart that sometimes doesn't believe God and a heart that actively, all the time, continuously disbelieves God. Amen? Okay, now that's what that kind of heart is. It's a heart, an unbelieving heart is one that is completely controlled by unbelief. They just don't believe God. They can see miracles or whatever, they refuse to believe. In Numbers 14:9, which is the number, Numbers 14:9, where they did all the refusal, where they refused to enter the promised land. Joshua and Caleb says, listen, don't rebel against the Lord. He's given us a promise. He says, listen, don't fear those people. Those people are our bread. Their protection is gone. Man, God is with us. Don't be afraid. And all the congregation said, hallelujah. No. They said, they rose up with stones to stone Joshua and Caleb. Why? For telling them the truth. We can take this land. They're bread, man. We're going to chew them up alive. God is with us. And it says, and the glory of God had to come down in the tabernacle of meeting before the children of Israel. And that's what prevented them from being stoned, by the way. It says, and then the Lord said to Moses, how long? Moses was a good friend of the Lord's. It's like he was confiding in him. Listen to what he said. How long will these people reject me? Moses, how long will they refuse to believe me with all the signs which I performed among them? In verse 26 of Numbers 14, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long shall I bear, and here it comes, with this evil, doesn't mean they're not saved, this evil congregation, meaning evil in their heart, because they complain against me. Now listen very carefully. Verse 10 told us that God was angry with that generation. What was he really angry with them about? Was God angry because they were murdering people? No. Was God angry because they were committing adultery or they were stealing or they were doing this? God was angry for one reason: the sin of unbelief. They refused to believe God. Listen, every born again believer, if you are born from above, the Bible says in Romans 12:3 that you, God has done something for you. He has dealt unto you a measure of faith. It's already there. It's in your heart and it grows. Faith cometh by, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Romans 1:17 teaches us this, that the just shall live by faith. Boy, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. Unless you believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, it's impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 6:16 says, man, loved one, a command, taking up the shield of faith. Something that you have to do. If it's down there, you have to pick it up, by which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Oh, that's so important, loved one. Listen, and then it says here, it says, watch this one, the word departing. Now, we get our English word apostasy from that word, if you will. Now, question, this is very important that we see this. Did God, the children of Israel, the first generation, did they complain all the time? Of course they did. It didn't matter what, they were just a bunch of complainers, man. Listen, and they wanted to go back to Egypt. They go, well, get a leader, let's go back. Did God allow the first generation to return to Egypt? No. What did God do to them in the wilderness? For 40 years, what did God do to them? Number one, he provided their needs, amen? But number two, he did something else. God disciplined the first generation in the wilderness. God would not allow his people to return to the bondage of Egypt and into slavery. Why? God chastens those he loves. God, listen, if you're an illegitimate son or daughter of God, you're not going to be chastened or corrected by God. You don't belong to him. But if you are son or daughter of God, he will discipline you because God chastens those that he loves. What a terrible thing to depart from the living God, because when you do, it's all lifeless in the world. There's nothing there. Now look at verse 13. But exhort one another when? Daily. That means right now. Exhort one another daily, every day, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened, and look how, the cause, through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort, parakaleo, exhort there. Parakaleo means to come alongside of a person, okay? It's a command, exhort, come alongside of a person and encourage that person every day. We need to encourage one another, amen? And they needed to encourage themselves as well. So he says, man, exhort them. God's warnings are never meant to discourage us, loved one. Man, they're not given to hinder us. They're always given for us to help us. Today, he says, right now, the power of right now. You know, there could be someone sitting beside you before we started our worship time, and maybe you didn't say a word, but you felt like you should have. The power of right now to encourage that person. We all need to be encouraged, amen? Boy, the Bible says that a word fitly spoken is like golden apples being poured from a silver chalice, loved one. Listen, encouragement, we all need it every day, don't we? We're fighting the flesh, we're fighting the devil, we're fighting the world. Oh, listen, we need it. So here, keep encouraging one another. That today word, to press on, to fight the good fight of faith. And look at it again, the deceitfulness of sin. The word deceitful there in the Greek, it means this. It means to cheat, it means to deceive, and it means to trick, okay? In other words, don't let sin trick you. Don't let sin deceive you. Thomas Watson put it this way. Sin is a mere cheat. While it pretends to please us, it literally beguiles us. Now, all sin deceives, but we have to keep in our context. And in context, we're speaking about the sin of unbelief. You know, you've heard of probably a sermon a couple of years ago, and it just embedded in my heart, you know, that about unbelief. And I said that unbelief is a cruel false god. It dominates a person. It tells a person that you cannot trust God. Or it tells a person God doesn't really love you. If he really loved you, this wouldn't be happening and so forth. No, listen, loved one, God loves you. His promises are all true. Jesus loves you. All promises are yes and again, yes and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So unbelief says you can't trust God's word. You can't trust God. You can't trust the Holy Spirit. You can't trust him at all. And you know what the unbelief does? Unbelief demands, if you're going to give praise to anyone or thanks to anyone, give it to your hard work. Give it to your education. Give it because, you know, your employer, whatever it is, because you're the provider. No, God is our provider. Amen? Now listen, the power of unbelief, it steals the plan of God for your life, the purpose of God for your life. But I'll tell you what it does. Unbelief steals the power of now. Right this minute, it steals from you the power of now when God is trying to use you. And it's so important that we see that. So he says, exhort one another, and he tells us why. For we have, that's past tense, we have become what? Partakers of Christ, sharers, we share in Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Are we partakers of Christ too? 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things are passed away, all things become new. The Bible says in Ephesians that we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We're his body, amen? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:17 that we are joined to the Lord. He who is one spirit with the Lord is one with the Lord. We are one with our Savior. We are so deeply, deep in union with Christ because we're in Christ now and God sees us in Christ. We are so close in union with him. The Bible says in 1 John 4:17, it says this, as he is right now, as Jesus is sitting on the throne of God, as he is right now, so are we in this world. We've already learned in Hebrews 1:14 that we're heirs of salvation. In 2:11, we learned that he's not ashamed to call us brothers. In 3:1, we've learned that we are partakers of the heavenly calling. Amen? Oh, listen, is Jesus our confidence? That's what that word, you see that word there? Look at it. It says, our confidence, steadfast to the end. Oh, what is our confidence? Who is our confidence? That word means who is our, the word means assurance. Same word that's used in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. There's that word, the evidence. That's what that word confidence means. Evidence of things not seen. Who is our assurance? Jesus. Oh, he's going to hold us steadfast to the end. Verse 15, quickly. And while it is said, again, look what he does. He repeats it. Today, urgent, right now, the power of now. Today, right this minute, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So the Holy Spirit warns them again, but he warns us again as well. For who having heard, meaning they heard the voice of God over and over and over again, what did they do? They rebelled. Now, indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses, that's the first generation. Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? So the writer does something, loved one. He closes here with a list of questions. Now listen carefully. The first generation, they missed their today. They missed their now. Does that make sense? They missed the power of right that minute. They heard what God said, but they refused to believe what God said. They lived for less. They expected less. They believed for less when God wanted to give them more. And they wanted to eat the food of the world. They didn't want to eat the manna from heaven. Remember what it says in the Word? It says, let me just read it to you. I don't have a scripture, but I know it's in, anyway, we sat by the pots. They were complaining and they said, oh, remember when we sat by the pots of meat? When we ate bread to the full? Oh, we ate fish freely in Egypt. Oh, the cucumbers, oh, the melons, oh, the leeks, oh, the onions, oh, the garlic, oh, the In-N-Out burgers, oh. And then they go, it's so sad. But now there is nothing but this manna, angel's food, manna before our eyes. Is that a sad word? God's provision they despised. And look at verse 18. And to whom did he swear? God swore an oath that they would not enter into his rest, their inheritance in Canaan, but to those who did not obey. So we see, I hope we see as well, so we see they could not, it was an impossibility, they could not enter into Canaan. They couldn't do it. Why? Because of unbelief. I'm going to ask you a question. Did they understand what God said? Yes. But they did not trust what God said. Isn't it amazing that unbelief was stronger than the divine promises of the living God? Imagine that. Man, listen, the majority, you know the story. We don't have time to go into Numbers 13 and 14 and read all that. You know it. You've read it 100 times, I'm sure. Listen, the majority ruled, didn't they? The majority ruled or outvoted the divine rule of God. Unbelievable what they did. They went in, the spies, did they go? God didn't send them. God didn't tell them to go. They chose to go, by the way. Send spies. We want to spy out the land and see if it's good, if it's really flowing with milk and honey, see if the cities are fortified, what kind of people are there, and all of the things. And that, boy, they spied out the lands, and they came back, and you know what they said. Oh, the cities, they're walled cities. They are well fortified. Oh, and guess what? We saw the giants there. Oh, my gosh, they're 10, 20, 30 feet tall. They were all Texans. You know how Texans lie. They just, you know what I mean, you know? And he said, oh, when we saw them, we were grasshoppers. In the Hebrew, that word means insects. We were just insects in their sight. And then they were carrying on the whole time. Remember what they were carrying back from the promised land? That the cluster of grapes was so magnificent, so huge, they had to carry it on a pole. And they said, oh, it's true. Look, the land is just what God said. It's flowing with milk and honey. Well, if it's what God said, it's also God could say, they could believe the second part. You go take it. Amen? But they didn't. They refused to enter into what God had for them. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. This is so vital right now. What was their punishment? What did God really do because they refused, they rebelled, they would not cross the Jordan, they would not follow the Ark of the Covenant, they would not go across, they stayed in the wilderness. They didn't believe God. How did God punish them for not entering his rest? Did they lose their salvation? They lost their inheritance, yes, Canaan, but they lost their physical life, not their salvation. Now, Bill, can you prove that to me? Absolutely, I can prove that to you from God's word. Listen very carefully. Did God forgive their unfaithfulness, their refusal to obey? Absolutely. Let me read it to you, Numbers 14:20. Moses, remember, let me set it up. God came to Moses. I'm going to destroy them, and I'm going to raise you up, Moses. I'm sick of these people. I'm paraphrasing. This is a Bill Quinn translation, okay? And so forth. And what did Moses start doing? Oh, he starts interceding. Oh, Lord, please listen to me. You know what's going to happen if you kill these people? It's going to get word. It's going to go back to the Egyptians, and they're going to say, you brought them out here just to kill them, and that you were not able to take them across. He says, your power, Lord. Your power is long-suffering. He says, will you forgive these people? And then it says in Numbers 14:20, it says, Lord, Moses saying, you know, Lord, you can don't use your power to kill them, but would you use your power to forgive them? Listen, Moses said, And then the Lord said to Moses, I have pardoned them according to your word. Were they forgiven? When God says that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse all unrighteousness, are they forgiven?
Yes.
They were pardoned, but they lost it all. They settled for less. God wanted more for them like he wants for us, and they settled for less. And it says, he goes on and he says, okay, Moses, I've pardoned them according to your word, but as truly as I live, all the earth is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs that I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, and have put me to the test these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they'll certainly not see the land. And he goes on and he says, only two people are going to see it. Who were they? Joshua and Caleb. And also in all those that were under 20. Okay. Now, today, if you will hear their voice, God's voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the power of now. It wasn't did the evidence that was presented to them, did that keep them out of Canaan? No. Was it their sin? Did that really keep them out of Canaan? Listen to me now. It was the sin of unbelief in God's promises, in God's ability. It says in Numbers 14:11, God says, oh, how long are they going to not believe in me for the miracles that I performed among them? Their today is over. Now listen to me. The power of now. Can you imagine 2 million faithless people? There, here is the Jordan River. They're 100 yards away from the land that is flowing with milk and honey that God had promised unto Abraham. It's right there. All they have to do is believe God, obey God, do what God says, and they will defeat the Perizzites, the Hittites, and all the otherites. You understand? Oh, but they did not do it. They forfeited the power of now. Let me read that sad scripture to you. In Numbers 14:25, God's word says, okay, tomorrow, not today. They missed their today. Tomorrow, turn, move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Tomorrow, you walk away from the Jordan. Tomorrow, you walk away. You turn away from Canaan. You move back out into the wilderness. You just lost the more that God had for you, it says. They just lost their destiny right on the border, man. I mean, they will never cross the Jordan because they missed their now. They missed their opportunity. Phillips says this, many believers have the idea that failure to enter into all that God has for them is regrettable, but not serious. Let's skip ahead to Sunday, next Sunday. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us what? Fear. What are we going to fear? Fear to distrust the promise of God, okay? Lest any of you seem to have come short of it. In other words, you come too late. You miss the power of now. He says it didn't profit them that heard it because they didn't mix it with faith. Now listen, today, right now, if you will hear his voice, Calvary Chapel, the power of now. Remember what I said 2 Sundays ago before I left for Houston? Listen, I said this. I said, we've done well in chapters 1 and 2. The Christian always does. But sadly, the majority of all Christians, and I say this lovingly, not judgmentally, they live and remain in chapter 3. They never get out of chapter 3. They never cross over into chapter 4 like the children of Israel. There's the more. There's the Jordan. There's the promises. I'm talking about our spiritual Jordan. They never cross over. They never get into chapter 4. They settle for less. Remember what I said? I said the church for the believer can be the most dangerous place on this planet. Why? Because we hear the word of God over and over and over and over and over. Radio, on TV, share groups, in sermons. We hear it, but for some reason, a lot of believers, that's all they do is hear. They're stuck in chapter 3. And God says, I need you to come over. I want you to come over into more. I have a rest that you need to enter into where you don't have to strive anymore and work yourself and try to prove yourself or prove your love for me and all. Do you understand me? And God says, listen, if you need to just come over, but a hard heart, it doesn't hear. Listen to me now. The hardness of the day's church is a direct result, not from hearing the truth of God's word, loved one, but not responding to the truth and doing the truth of God's word in their lives. We today, chapter 3 and there's chapter 4, we have arrived. Remember, 2023 is not a year for us. 2023 is our spiritual Jordan. Does that make sense? And we are to cross over. We have to. Remember the revolutionary word, the scripture, Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist unto now, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Or those that are believers, they since we belong to the kingdom, we seize it as a precious possession. Amen? Now listen. You've got to, I'm struggling right now. I've been struggling on this sermon. I've been struggling, but God's not struggling. I want you to listen to me now. When I look at right here before us, the power of now. Chapter 4, we've got to get into chapter 4. We've got to get there. Why do we have to get into chapter 4? Do you know what's in chapter 4? The throne of grace. What crossed the Jordan back in the first generation? The second generation. Who went before the children of Israel? The ark. The ark of the covenant is the throne of grace in heaven. We have to go. We have to cross over, loved one, because that's what we need. It says, today if you hear his voice. Listen, I looked up from Exodus to Deuteronomy. Do you know how many times Moses and the Lord had a conversation? How many times God spoke to Moses? 104 times. Matter, think about when he spoke to Noah. God, I mean, do you think God's voice was different then than it is right now? God doesn't change. Do you hear me? God doesn't change. His voice doesn't change. Noah, I'm going to destroy everything. You're going to build an ark. Come on. Did Noah hear the voice of God? Yes. How about Abram? Abram, go. Go into a country. Leave your family. Get away from all of it. Where am I going? I'll tell you later. Don't worry about it. No. You think about Jonah. He goes, he didn't want to obey the voice of God. Remember, you study it out. What did Jonah do? He said, no, I'm not going to do that. I hate the Ninevites, yada, yada, yada. And God, the second time, the voice of the Lord came to him, he obeyed, you know, after he got out of the belly of a fish, right? The whale. Jonah spoke 8 words that God gave him, the power of now. 8 words. And the largest city in the world at that time, over 120,000 people in Nineveh, repented. Everybody. You talk about revival? That is revival, amen. How about Philip when it says, Philip, there he was, he was in Samaria. Man, there were signs and wonders to heal. Blind eyes were being opened. The lame were walking. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord said, get into the desert. He goes out into the desert. Man, can you believe that you would leave that? I mean, the whole city was in revival. He goes out to the desert. And then the Holy Spirit speaks to him in Acts chapter 8, I don't know, 28, someplace in there. And he says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go. He heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Go, overtake the chariot, the Ethiopian eunuch. You know the story. And the next verse says, and Philip ran. He ran to that chariot. And you know the story, how he led the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ, baptized him. Then the Spirit of the Lord caught him up, and Philip was found in Azotus. Man, listen, the power of right this minute. And there's somebody saying right now, either here or live, well, if I'd have heard the voice of God like they heard the voice of God, I would have obeyed. No. No. That's not the way it works, loved one. Listen to me. you have heard the voice of God. Jesus said, John 10, 27 again, my sheep hear, they've heard my voice, amen? You have the living word of God. This is the voice of God, is the word of God, amen? Hey, and I say, oh Lord, listen, if God has spoken to me like he spoke to Moses, I'd obey. No, you wouldn't. You know what you're saying right now? Loved one, listen to me. You're saying that the revelation given to Moses is a greater revelation than God has given to us through his son. Chapter 1, verse 2. In these last days, God has spoken unto us by his son. Amen? The voice of God hasn't changed. Oh, and listen, that is the power of now, loved one. Listen, I'm going to ask you, I know I've got to finish. We're not late. Don't worry. It's daylight savings time. Does God have to give us some kind of supernatural event for us to obey him? I mean, can't we just say, Jesus, I love you enough? John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Does he have to give us some kind of supernatural sign in the sky to where I'll serve at kids' church now? You know, or oh Lord, I'll win my next door neighbor. You know, I saw that supernatural thing. Do we have to have that? God's word's already told us what to do. Amen. Listen, why are we missing the adventure today? Why is the 21st century church in America missing the adventure? The Holy Spirit is speaking to us all the time. Did you know that God not only wants us to hear his voice and obey his voice, God wants us to feel as he feels, love others as he loves, and care about other people. Did you know that? Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We're to think like him, act like him, forgive like him, love like him. Amen? Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, when it says Jesus went into the village, healed every sickness, every disease, everybody in the whole village was healed. And it says that Jesus looked out among them and he had compassion. His heart was breaking. And they looked and said, why, the Lord, why? He says, because there are people that have not a shepherd. They need a shepherd. They're wandering through this life. We are commanded to see other people like God sees them. We're the body of Christ, amen? You go, listen, you go into a grocery store, and you're in line. And there you see a woman, she's got, in one hand, she's got that little one-year-old baby, and in another hand, she's trying to count out the pennies to pay for the meager meal that she's putting in the basket. And all of a sudden, you hear some kind of voice inside of you, and it goes, pay for her groceries. And you go, I don't know who that was. There's no way I'm doing that. Man, that's crazy. Why don't you accept that voice as the voice of the Holy Spirit? And when you obey, that's when you have the adventure. Do you know that? Listen, listen. How do you hear the voice of God? How does that happen? When you practice obedience, when you hear and you start acting, it doesn't mean you won't make mistakes, okay? But God will never violate his word. He won't tell you to do something that's not scriptural, okay? All right. And so the thing is that, loved one, listen, that's when the adventure begins. You step out and go, oh, this is crazy. I know it sounds, but then you start learning the voice of God. And what happens when you don't obey? You just miss that opportunity. It's a lifetime of learning the voice of God. I'm still learning the voice of God. Loved one, listen, the word obeyed by the Holy Spirit, the power of now, that's the moment you obey it, that's when you step into the power. Do you understand? The power of that moment, the power right there, right that moment. Man, listen, you know what happens when you hear the voice of God? It opens the door to the supernatural for you, but for others as well. Listen, you know how this church started? On my disobedience. I quit. I was in a revival meeting in New Hampshire, man, for 2 weeks or whatever. I was flying home. I'd already dismissed that home fellowship in my house. I said, I'm not doing this. Uh-uh. And as God is my witness, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, why did you stop what I started? I repented on the jet all the way home. And that's why we're here today. Do you follow me? See, it's the power of right now. You know, and you think you're crazy when you step out like that. Remember, I don't have time. Remember the hand? Remember when the Holy Spirit put your hand, the cell, and I sold the house sold. Remember that? The power of now. The moment you obey the power of now, you step into the adventure. And also it's for others usually. It was Thanksgiving. Becky, Thomas, me, we're at her dad's house. I'd left my first pastorate months, maybe a year ago, my first church I pastored. We just sat down. The turkey was right in front of us. And we all sat down in the prayer and we're getting ready to cut it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, get up now, go to such and such a house. And I knew who they were. Go to their house right now, now, just go. I looked at Becky and I said, I'm so sorry, honey. I have to leave. I have to leave right now. I drove like a maniac from my father-in-law's house to this home. These people were members of the first church I pastored. And I hadn't seen them, I don't know, a year, 2 years, whatever it was. And I went to the front door of their house, and the front door was open, and I started ringing the doorbell. The wife ran out to me, said, oh God, Bill, please. I've been praying. My husband, he's out in the rose garden. He has a gun in his mouth right now. I go out there, and I look at him, and I said, God spoke to me. I said, and I looked at her, your wife has committed adultery, and you're going to kill yourself. I said, that's right. I said, take that gun out of your mouth right now. And God saved him. The power of now. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so many people are missing the power of now because you're not here. That can't be God. That can't be God. Loved one, listen. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to keep you. I want you to listen to me. The power of now. This is a Jordan. In my first pastorate, there was a little girl. Her name was Jennifer. She was 12 years old. She had the longest brown hair, and she was skinny, and she was beautiful. And two men kidnapped her and kept her for a week in a house and repeatedly raped her. And her parents, I see their faces. And I see Jennifer. She's at the altar again. Every Sunday she was at the altar. Psychologists couldn't help her. Psychiatrists couldn't help her. Medication, they didn't have it back then. And she would kneel and she would weep. I don't mean tears. I mean alligator tears. And I'd prayed. Every time I'd go pray with her, I didn't know what to do. And then I walked over to her and she was holding her hands. And I put my hands on her hand and I saw the tears and I walked away from her. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The power of now. When you obey that voice of the Holy Spirit, you step into the power of now. Are you listening to me? You step into it right there. You say, Bill, that's crazy. No, no, I know it sounds crazy. But I'm telling you, the Lord, I told you this story. The Lord spoke to me. And I said, Lord, what are you going to do with her tears? And the Holy Spirit said, I'm putting them in my bottle. I went over to Jennifer and I said, Jennifer, you know what the Lord just told me? That he's putting your tears in his bottle. That's what it says in the Bible. Amen. He has a record of what they did to you. What they did to your body. And she looked at me. And she said, well, what's he going to do with my tears? And the Holy Spirit said to me, pour them on her now. Does that sound crazy? Yes. And I stepped over and I said, the Lord just said to pour them on you because every tear
that meant why you cried is now going to heal you. Praise God. And she was healed. Listen, I don't mean to be a crybaby, but I'm in my 70s, okay? Listen, it's the power of now. And you know what's so sad? Some of you just keep suppressing what God wants to get rid of. He wants us, why are you holding on to that unforgiveness? Why are you holding on, maybe not even forgiving yourself? Why won't you just say, I'm crossing the Jordan. I'm entering into the rest that belongs to me. I'm no longer going to strive anymore. I'm giving it to God, and I'm going to enter His rest, for He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. But listen, we've got to move. This church has to move into the power of today, the power of now, or we will miss the opportunity in what God has for us. Does that make sense? As our heads are bowed, you know God is. Are you hearing the voice of God? Are you hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit? Is your marriage in trouble? Are you in some, you think, well, I can defeat this sin? You can't defeat sin without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't. But God will do it for you. He loves you. He will heal you. He will fill you with His Spirit. But church, we've got to cross over. Father, here they are. You know everything. You know all their hearts. I don't need hands to go up. I don't need anyone to come to the altar. I don't need anything except your people to say, I'm crossing this Jordan. Because the throne of grace is on the other side. Oh, the throne of grace. And I have a merciful high priest right now who can sympathize with everything I'm going through. He can be everything I'm being tempted. That's why it says, church, listen to me in your heart as your heads are bowed. It says, let us, that means all of the Christians, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. That we, not me, but we may obtain mercy. That we may find grace and help in time of need. When you enter the rest of God, your striving is ceased. Father, I don't know who's coming with me, but you know. I'm crossing this Jordan, our spiritual Jordan. I pray they all come with me. Because, Lord, we want to live in the power of now. In Jesus' name, we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand. And I've got another service, dear Lord. Are we going to cross? Yes. Listen, let's just do it. We are a supernatural people. We're new creations. We can go where no one else can go. God hears our prayers. The Spirit of God lives within us, loved one. Listen, it's time. I'm telling you, it's time. Right today, it is time to move forward. Where God wants us. It's time for revival. It's time for revolution. It's time to be expectant. It's time to walk on water. It's time to see the moving of God. It's time for God to, for you to see God speak to you, and you say, oh, that is so weird, but you step out in faith and you go, it worked. Yes, and then your hearing gets better and better and gooder and gooder. Amen. I love you with all my heart, loved one. There's going to be people down here to pray, whatever you might need. I know it's time to go. I do this, don't I? Amen. Yes, He is. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. He's so good.
to me, and I love him so. Yes, we do, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name.